This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is David Walker, former Comptroller General of the United States, who's now President and CEO of the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. During his time in Washington, Mr. Walker was also the head of the Government Accountability Office. He's now the author of Come Back America, Turning the Country Around and Restoring Fiscal Responsibility. And Mr. Walker, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Greg.
Let's talk about exactly, first of all, sir, where we stand fiscally speaking. You quote early in the book that we are literally about $56 trillion in the hole. That's a much bigger number than most politicians seem to throw around. Explain how that's the reality.
Well, basically, that was the total liabilities and unfunded promises for Medicare and Social Security as of September 30, 2008. The numbers for September 30, 2009 haven't been released yet, but when they come out, they're going to be well over $60 trillion and growing every second of every minute of every day.
And you say that without a decisive action by about the year 2030, we're going to be in serious shape because the situation is only going to get worse as our baby boom generation starts to retire here in the coming years, particularly with our entitlement programs like Social Security and Medicare. What kind of astronomical number could we be looking at then?
If we don't end up getting our act together soon, we're going to have a problem being able to borrow money at reasonable interest rates. But even if we could borrow the money, taxes are going to more than double by 2030, unless we end up reforming the base of government, restructuring entitlement programs, and making sure that we have reasonable levels of revenue. We need to do something within the next couple of years, or else I think we could face a much bigger crisis than we saw within the last year and a half.
So you've got tightening the belt on spending, entitlement reform, and the tax code. Where do you start?
Well, the first thing you have to do is to not expand government further when you already have made promises that you don't know how you're going to keep. You also need to reimpose tough statutory budget controls once we end up getting the economy turned around and we get unemployment down somewhat. Then we need to figure out a process that we can end up making progress on Social Security, health care cost containment, and tax reform, and that's going to take some type of special commission. There's one being debated today on the floor of the Senate. The president has said that he supports creating some type of special commission so that we can make progress on multiple fronts and before our foreign lenders lose patience with us.
Right now, we're obviously looking at record deficits, $1.42 trillion in the last fiscal year, and the projections don't look all that rosy, obviously. What can we cut?
What we need to recognize is that this government has never gone through and done a fundamental review of what exists, of the major spending programs, of the major tax policies. I have a chapter in the book that lays out about a dozen questions that need to be asked and answered about every major spending program and tax preference that have never been asked and answered. We have a lot of things that are outdated, they're duplicative, and they flat don't work. And so we have to end up focusing more on the future, focusing on results. That's going to take time. But again, the first thing you have to do is when you're in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. Then you need a plan for figuring out how you're going to get out, and then you need some safeguards to keep from falling back in. It's not that complicated.
And as we mentioned before, the entitlement programs are very, very bad and only about to get worse given the numbers of people about to be clients of those systems. You say that Social Security is not as bad as Medicare, and the numbers certainly back that up. And you lay out a few different steps in the book. Briefly explain what you think those steps should be that could make a big difference in the solvency of Social Security.
Well, first, it doesn't face an immediate crisis, but it is paying out more than it's taking in now. And it's going to be permanently in that condition within the next 10 years. So we have to recognize that the longer we wait, the more changes we're going to have to make and the less transition time. You take people who are currently retired or right at retirement age, you make little or no changes to them because they don't have time to make adjustments, and frankly, it wouldn't be fair or feasible. The younger you are, the better off you are, the more you're going to be affected. We need to make sure that we're providing an adequate benefit for people near the poverty level. We need to provide somewhat less of a benefit than currently now promised for middle and upper income. We need to encourage people to work longer. And we need to consider adding on a supplemental savings account on top of, not in lieu of, a solvent, sustainable, and secure base defined benefit program. Because there's a reason that Social Security is called security. It is the foundation. It must be secure.
Medicare seems to be a much stickier, more complicated fix. Where do you start there?
Well, first, we're the only major industrialized nation that doesn't have a budget on what it spends on healthcare. Everybody else knows that that can drive you to bankruptcy. So that's the first thing you have to do. Secondly, you have to recognize that while there ought to be universal opportunity to sign up for federal government programs like Medicare prescription drugs and Medicare, you know, physicians and outpatient, that there shouldn't be a universal subsidy. On average, you know, the taxpayers pay 75% of the cost of Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D, no matter how wealthy you are. That makes no sense. We have to change our payment systems to move away from paying for procedures to start paying for results. We have to also recognize that if somebody has a very lucrative employer-provided and paid health care plan above, you know, a basic and essential level, that that's compensation and that they ought to pay taxes on it. Whether you're in a union or not in a union should be irrelevant.
We're talking with David Walker. The book is Come Back America, Turning the Country Around and Restoring Fiscal Responsibility. Sir, in terms of bringing in adequate revenue, you have different ideas in this book. Nobody likes to pay additional taxes, but you want to get rid of the alternative minimum tax, which is hitting more and more people. But you also like the idea of a value-added tax. Explain your general strategy on increasing revenue.
Well, first, the alternative minimum tax was intended to be for very wealthy people, but now it's affecting more and more people. It's just not credible. It's a bait-and-switch surtax. You know, I myself have been a public servant, you know, either in government or the not-for-profit sector. I've paid the alternative minimum tax, you know, 5 out of the last 6 years. I get done filling out my tax return. I think I'm done. Then I got to fill out this other form, and I find out I got to pay a 15 to 16, you know, percent surcharge on top of what I thought my taxes were. We've got to get rid of that. We have to end up reducing a lot of the tax preferences that we have that are very expensive, that represent corporate or welfare or subsidizing middle and upper income individuals or aren't working. And we need to think about some type of a consumption tax because we need to have a more equitable distribution of the tax burden. You know, there are some very, very wealthy people that don't frankly pay that much in income taxes for a variety of reasons, but yet they are big consumers, and therefore there's a way that we need to try to be able to capture that. Plus, consumption taxes also encourage savings, which is something that we desperately need to do in this country because savings represent the seed corn for the future.
Mr. Walker, just about a minute left in our conversation here. You also talk a lot about what you think that the current president is trying to do and what you'd like to see him do. His main piece of legislation on the fiscal front that has gotten through so far is the stimulus. How would you grade that if it can be given a grade at this point, and what else would you encourage him to pursue?
A D. Only about a third of the bill was truly stimulus, timely, targeted, and temporary. It hasn't had the impact on the economy and on employment that was intended or advertised. We didn't have clearly defined objectives. We didn't have appropriate criteria and conditions established up front, and that's why people are disappointed.
Sir, a big job to come, and you've done a yeoman's work here, great work over the past few years trying to raise the alarm on this. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, there is a way forward. The solutions are in the book. Thanks.
Come Back America, Turning the Country Around and Restoring Fiscal Responsibility. The author is David Walker. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.